Hi, my name is Olivia and I'm 23 years old. Today is November 26th, 2020, and I'm speaking with my Aunt Mary, and we are recording this interview in my backyard in Kennesaw, Georgia. So, since it's Thanksgiving, we are going to start with this question. What are your favorite family holidays and why?
I think number one would be Christmas. Number two, maybe Easter, Thanksgiving, and then we used to take our annual visit to Hilton Head for our family vacation.
Why is Christmas your favorite?
Because of the meaning of everything that happened, and everyone coming together on Christmas Eve is just... Once we have our fun together and eat too much, and then I go home and I can't even go to sleep. I sit up and I'm thankful that I have the wonderful family that I do, and it just puts me in the right perspective for Christmas Day.
I think Christmas is my favorite too. Share a lot of those same feelings. So now we're going to go to some family question. So can you tell me a little bit about what my mom was like growing up and what some of your favorite stories are about her?
First of all, I feel like I'm responsible for your mother being here because I had a little brother and I just always loved babies and I wanted a little sister. And I remember my mom and I were in the car one afternoon, and I said, you know, Mommy, I pray to God every night that we'll have a baby.
Aww.
And she did that. She went, aw. So we got home, and my dad was outside cutting grass, and then I walked up and heard her saying, Bill, Mary prays to God every night that we'll have another baby in the family. And he goes, my goodness. And then... Mom had a few complications. I was too young to really understand what was going on, but she had gotten pregnant. She was pregnant. And so I was almost 10, and Jenny, your mom, was born, and she was like my baby, a real live baby doll. It's a wonder I didn't flunk out of fourth grade because I was so excited to get home in the afternoon. I would just get jittery just to get home and hold her.
Aw.
So.
That's cute.
Isn't it?
Probably always asked for a baby brother.
Did
that
she?
Didn't work out.
Well, see, I first asked for a baby brother.
Got that.
But I was, and I got it, but I was going to name him Carol. And so, and then Mom and Dad knew it because I had a book. Carol was a ballerina, but I just liked the name. And my brother's very glad that my parents didn't listen to me. Name him Carol. Although Carol's can be a man's name, a boy name. That's not, but I don't think he wanted it.
Probably not. Okay, so the next question is, did you have a nickname? And if so, can you tell me the story of how you got it?
Olivia, I do not remember. Oh, wait a minute, I do. The nickname that I remember the most and that's been used the most, the other one was used by one person, was you called me Yaya, and then your sister just shortened it to Yaz. Instead of Aunt Mary. And then other people would call me Yaz, too. The first one was a lady that helped Mom with housework. Her name was Maddie. And she also kept Uncle Bill and I. She thought it was funny that I loved a TV show called Fury about a horse. And I don't remember the guy, what his name was, the guy that owned the horse. But a guy that helped him feed and take care of the horse, his old friend, was named Packy. And so she called me Packy and Uncle Bill, Billy Boy. Well, it was Packy and Billy Boy. So, and even her daughter remembers her calling me that. Aww. I never remember hearing her say Mary or Marianne. I'd forgotten about that until just now. Oh, yeah, Packy.
Packy. Oh, that's funny. So, next question is, what are some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
A really important one is that what you think is the best for you may not always be the best thing for you. Because I do believe in God, and I feel like there's sort of a plan. You know, we have to do our part. He's not just going to take care of all my financial needs and stuff if I'm sitting on the sofa eating candy. You know, I have to go out and do things. But we don't always know how things are going to unfold. And don't be unusually sad if something, you know, doesn't work out. When I was a young girl, I wanted to grow up, have a husband, 2 or 3 children, the house, the garage, the dog, and all that. Well, that did not happen. But I have a wonderful daughter. You know, I don't have that marriage, but I don't have a poor marriage.
Mm-hmm.
One of the saddest things, and I'm such a romantic, one of the saddest things, I thought it was really sad at the time, my dad died in my arms when he was 45, I was 15. My mother never remarried. A few years after I got over her taking her wedding rings off, I asked her, you know, why she hadn't met someone, dated, maybe remarried. And she said, honey, there are a lot worse things than being alone. And I thought, oh, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard. And then as I grew up, met boyfriends, good boyfriends, bad boyfriends, heard of relationships that friends were and relatives were in that were not good. And then when I was by myself, I totally understood
mm-hmm.
what she was saying. Because if you can't trust someone, just that day-to-day turmoil it causes in your life, it's better to be alone than go through that, you know? So, you know, those two things were probably the most important. And just not to give up on things, because each day is new. And then just forget about the past. Learn from things that have happened, but don't dwell on it. I have to tell myself that frequently because, you know, people do start thinking back, well, what if this would have happened or what if I would have done that? Mm-hmm. Well, bottom line, what you learn from it is done. You know, just keep going.
That's some good advice. I feel like I struggle with that, too.
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just try to live every life day to day. Don't plan. Don't save. I mean, you have to save enough money for your rent that's coming up in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But just try to make the most out of every day and laugh a lot. Laugh at yourself. I laugh out loud at myself, but I live alone. You know, a cat and a dog, so there's nobody else to laugh with me. But just some of the things that happen, mm-hmm. you know, are just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so out of all the cities that you have lived in so far, which one has been your favorite?
I haven't lived in many. Clemson, that was a lot of fun. Went to school, got my degree in psychology, went straight from there to Athens, UGA, master's in speech pathology. Had some fun, but school was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not even going to really count that one. Went from there to Hilton Head, babysat for the summer, and that turned into almost 10 years there, where, you know, that's where I spent my 20s. I met some really wonderful, genuine people, a lot of them school teachers. And I just loved being at the beach. So then after that, married, moved to Savannah, had my daughter. Things went downhill pretty quickly. So 3 years after that, was separated, moved to Atlanta, where I was with my where my brother and sister lived, because I needed emotional support and, you know, help with my daughter. So I got a job that I loved, stayed for years, and my daughter got to see her got to be here when her cousins, my nieces, were all born, and they got to kind of grow up together until everybody started playing fast pitch softball, and then it all went kaput. We never saw anybody. So Atlanta has a lot of wonderful memories. And, well, East Cobb, Marietta, really. But now I'm back near Charleston and Mount Pleasant, and I'm so happy to be back. My daughter is also there. But I think I would have to say, and then I was born in Prosperity. I left that out. But I think Hilton Head in the 80s, I'm not saying I would want to be there now, but it was like a small town in the 80s. And, you know, everybody had to have a roommate because we couldn't afford it, you know, to live on our own. And it was just met a lot of really good friends I still keep in touch with.
Was it as busy and touristy then?
Heavens no. You would drive from Sea Pines out to Palmetto Dunes. They didn't have street lights all over the place. And it felt like it took forever. And it's really just a few miles, you know, away. No, I mean, there were, as soon as Labor Day hit, it was like a ghost town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But see, I was there so long that by the, I guess, 1987, we really couldn't tell too much of a difference anymore because, you know, so many more people had moved there. But being in the schools in 1982, we would have an influx of kids registering the week after Labor Day weekend because that's when they started school in the states they were from. And it was like, whoa. It was a crazy amount. Like, don't y'all listen to the TV and the radio? You know, school's in session.
For like a month,
probably. Has been. Yeah, I know. But,
Wow. Okay, and this is kind of similar to the last question, but which job was your favorite, and can you tell me a little bit about it? So I know you've stayed, like, basically along the same cluster of things.
Yes, I started work in seventh grade at the little snack shop at this very small country club in the little town I grew up in. And that was just quite a learning experience. I mean, I couldn't even drive yet, of course. My dad had to take me. And that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, we'd go hop in the pool after work. That was a lot of fun. So that was the first one. Did a lot of babysitting. Then when I went to Clemson, I was home. You know, we would get out in May and have several months to work. I would do some substitute teaching. And then when school was out, I did lifeguarding and taught swimming lessons and tennis lessons literally from a book. Because I had never had tennis lessons. But they were usually the kids that had just had swimming lessons, and it was just basic. Keep learning how to keep score, learning how to serve, you know, that type thing. So that was a lot of fun. And then at Clemson, I also did some hostessing in a restaurant, but that made me really nervous. I couldn't wait tables because I felt like I couldn't. I was afraid I was going to forget stuff and people were going to get upset. So I got the speech and language pathology degree and started out. I thought I wanted to go into hospitals, but I did an internship at the Miami VA, and it was very intense, and I just didn't think I had enough experience to do that quite yet, so I went with the school system. Very mild caseload in Hilton Head, moved to Cobb County. Still pretty mild caseload, so I did that and also some geriatric, like adults that had strokes and their speech was affected. I did some of that after school, and I've continued to do speech therapy, but honestly, and I do love it, but in between there I started learning about speech generating devices, AAC, alternative augmentative communication. So if your speech wasn't enough for you to get your message across to someone, then you come up with something else. You could write, or you could, you know, type it, or touch a button that was programmed to say something. So I started doing that in the school system, and it was called assistive technology, and that was my passion for a long time because I was trying to really program the things so that the student could say things that were peer typical, you know, and enjoy using it, you know, kind of a buy-in, you know, hook to get them to use it. So I did that for several years, and then I did sort of a switch, and I started doing assistive technology with academic learning aids, which was very cool too, because I could have a freshman in high school say to me, Miss Labutier, I want to go to college. I need some software that's going to help me learn how to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not have known exactly what that was. And remember, this was several years ago where there weren't a lot of free things out there. You had to purchase software.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do the research and you know, come up with something for them to try. So that was a whole different job, because I'm helping the student, trying to get the teacher to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can start, could start doing things that are just so normal now, like emailing their homework assignment,
mm-hmm.
where everybody else was turning in paper.
Uh-huh.
You know, print something at the school, where everybody else might have been, if they even printed it, doing it at home. So I really enjoyed that.
That sounds rewarding to be able to help them do that.
It was, and it just, the relationship I built with those kids. And with the kids that had speech issues, too, because I was a goofball. I mean, you know, you have to keep a certain amount of, okay, you have to respect me. I'm asking you to do this. We're not just going to goof around. But mm-hmm. I could be a little bit more fun with them than maybe their teacher could at the time.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
Kids always love the one-on-one attention,
I know,
too.
Don't they? Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go back to some more family questions. So can you tell me about when you found out that you were going to be a mother?
Oh, my gosh. Now, remember, that was one of my lifelong goals. I wanted to have those children.
Yep.
I mean, I was one of the kids at church. I would run up after the service to a lady, may I hold your baby? May I hold your baby? I mean, of course, mm-hmm. it was a small town. Everybody knew me.
Yeah.
But still, just loved holding them. So my daughter's dad and I had gone. It was George, Florida weekend, but we didn't go to the game. We went to Sea Island with family, David and Kay,
mm-hmm.
My cousin and his wife. And I had taken a pregnancy test, and it was taupe. It wasn't one color or the other. And I'm like, and I told Kay, I said, you know, I know we're going to be having some wine with dinner. We're going to go play tennis and all these things, and I'm just not sure what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, let's go get a test, and you can take it now. And I said, you sure? She goes, yeah, I took one. It was positive. I'm like, what? She and my cousin David were having twins. So,
and you didn't know?
No, not until then. So we go. So then David had to take us on a tour of historic, you know, Jekyll Island, and he's, not, I'm sorry, St. Simon's,
mm-hmm.
and he's pointing out all these historical things, and I just couldn't wait to get back to the hotel to
mm-hmm.
get the results. And it was positive. And Greer's dad was wanting to tell the world, and I'm like, no, we have to go get a real test,
yeah.
you know, from the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so excited, I was just beside myself. And
mm-hmm.
it changed everything, because I just wanted to be so careful and not mess up. And
mm-hmm.
so we'd go out to play tennis, and we played tennis with them before, and I'd played a good bit of tennis. So I'm just going back for an overhead, fell right backwards on my bottom.
Oh, no.
That's it, guys. I'm done. What? Mary, come back. No. No. I might fall. You know, might hurt something
mm-hmm.
going in. And so I was as overprotective of her then as I was after she was born. It's a wonder the child even walked, because when she started to crawl and stuff, we were living in a house that we had started remodeling but hadn't completed. So we had taken the carpet up, but there were still some little tacks and nails. So I didn't want her crawling on that. You know?
Oh, no. Yeah.
And so then I'll never forget, she would go from the grass down to the sidewalk
mm-hmm.
and literally plant both feet, take one, step down, carefully done.
Mm-hmm.
So she went without having a scrape and beating, bleeding, you know, until she was two.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the best thing that's happened to me in my life. And now to be back in a town a few miles away from her is just, I don't know, I just love it. And it's okay if she moves and goes somewhere else. I feel like we have a really good relationship, and she laughs at me. I don't care. You know, we cut up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
give each other advice. That'll continue if she's living in a different place.
So you already said how much being a mom changed your life, but is there anything specific that you feel like has changed you as a person since then, or anything that surprised you once you became a parent?
Olivia, I think, first of all, it was such a totally different kind of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the back of my head when I was making, you know, all kinds of decisions, not just for her, mm-hmm. but for our life and mm-hmm. where we lived and who she was around. And I always wanted her to be proud of me. Her father and I were still going through some, you know, tense times when she was little, and I did not want her early memories to be of her mother talking to her dad on the phone, a regular house phone. We mm-hmm. didn't have cell phones mm-hmm. then. Yelling and screaming and being upset. So, you know, that was something that I really, really worked toward. And I feel I learned she had it kind of tough because I never had any more children.
Mm.
And that's probably been a little stressful for her because I know she worries about me, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I never remarried. But, does that answer it well enough?
Yeah, okay. I think so. So, do you remember any songs that you used to sing to Greer when she was a baby, and what were they?
Yes, I will not sing them because she tells me that I can't sing, although I was in junior choir in church. But mm-hmm. okay. So there was a Christmas song that we learned in junior choir that I sang to her year-round, mm-hmm. as I did Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, I heard a little about that one.
Well,
she says it could still comfort her today.
Yeah, and I think that's important for kids to have something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even as they get older. Songs, books, comfort foods.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those were the main ones.
What was the other one other than Rudolph?
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the world began to be. He is Alpha and Omega. The source, the ending, he. It's kind of complicated, really, but that was from junior choir.
Wow.
But she still remembers Alpha and Omega. Source and ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just loved, oh, good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice at night. But it was a pretty song.
That is a pretty song. I think you have a good voice.
Oh, thank you.
Mine is definitely worse.
Yeah. Well, now I try to start harmonizing, and mm-hmm. sounds okay to me, but I'm sure it's not. You know, she's like, what is she doing? She's not on key. I'm not trying to sing with them. It's too low. I'm a little bit higher.
So that song kind of takes us into, mm-hmm. Did you ever have a profound spiritual moment in your life, and can you tell me a little about it?
I'll be glad to tell you the whole thing about it, but I might choke up a little bit.
You can tell as much as you want.
It was a long time ago, and I'm acting like it just happened. So she was 2. Things were not getting any better with her dad and I, mm-hmm. and I knew something had to happen, and I just wanted the best thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
For 9 months, I had tried to do as much as I could to save the marriage, but it takes more than just the one person. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say things that I felt like saying because I knew he would think it was negative, which it was. I didn't. Just tried to be, you know, the best I could be. And one night, I was just so tired, I just laid on my back and said, "Take it, God. I'm done. I can't do it." A couple days after that, your mother called me and said, okay, you can come up here if you're thinking about moving and you know, interview. I think at that time they had 60-something speech therapists. I don't even know how many hundred there are now because there's so many schools. Mm-hmm. But they had 18 openings. So I wanted to, you know, apply for that. A lady, recently divorced, but remarried, came in with her husband and offered me a pretty high percentage of cash mm-hmm. for my house. Mm-hmm. So I was told, you know, if she's willing to put down, you know, that much cash, she wants this house.
Yeah.
So that worked out. I just went with the flow. And your mother also got a babysitter for me. Mm-hmm. It was a lady who kept only teachers' children, you know, people that work with the school system, because she had two of her own.
Mm-hmm.
And when school was out, mm-hmm. she wanted that time off to be with her kids too,
right?
And wouldn't charge me, and didn't charge me for the summer.
Wow.
And I didn't even realize what a big deal that was until a few years later, and somebody said, well, no, I don't take them there in the summer, but we still have to pay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just, that was huge, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't giving up exactly, but I didn't know what else to do.
You were giving up the control.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of goes back to what I was saying before. We don't always know what's best for us. So, you know, you just have to trust and just do the best you can. And overall in life, it's all worked out.
So, now, I know one of my favorite things that we've done as a family is go on all of our family vacations. So, what is one of your favorite memories from any of the family vacations that we've been on?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
There's
some for every part of, you know, for your different ages.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You can pick more than one.
Some of the most fun were the ones as you guys got older, and we did the little mini cruises.
Oh yeah.
Weren't they fun?
Those were fun.
Then when we had the cousins in Bluffton
mm-hmm.
come over and visit, and there were even more kids there,
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed playing croquet.
I like croquet.
Yeah, and then after that, we would have the best time on the beach with, was it cornhole?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And bocce. And
bocce ball.
One time we had badminton.
Mm-hmm. And tennis, our little tennis tournaments, and mm-hmm. then going to the Salty Dog when people were much older. I can't, Olivia. The whole thing was fun. I think that's why.
The whole thing was fun.
I mean, that was what I looked forward to. There were many years that was my only vacation, because when I came back from that, I would work, you know, through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was usually one of mine too, because then softball was picking up.
Yeah. And I remember, oh, no, when are y'all going? We're coming. We're going to have to leave early, or we're going to get there a little late.
Mm-hmm.
But once everybody was there, I mean, everybody was just so anxious, you know, for everybody to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would always have the shrimp boil on the night that everybody was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were good times. And mm-hmm. Mimi called it her reunion. Yeah, we're having our, remember? We're having our family reunion first week of June, you know, down in Hilton Head.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was great.
One of my favorite things was when we would always have you take us on the night beach walks.
Yes. Yes.
No one else would go except
I know,
you.
I know. None of the other adults ever went, did they?
Mm-mm.
I loved it. And especially, what is it, the phosphorus? You know, we'd scrape our toes in the sand and it would mm-hmm. light up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nobody ever got hurt.
No.
Cause
one time Isabel fell off
that. That's right, fell off that little wall thing.
Yeah. She was fine.
Yeah, it was okay.
Nobody, that's all that happened to us.
Yeah, and nobody ever got hurt by the alligators, although that was a close one when that alligator was outside the door, and I'm yelling that y'all left. Why did they leave the door open, the sliding glass door? You know, because we could just walk out to the mm-hmm. beach. And I thought, is that little cement alligator? It is not. It is real.
At first, you thought we pranked you.
I know. Well, that happened frequently. And then the Seapine security person that came to help had me help him catch it. Remember, he put that little noose on it.
You had to call.
And I had to hold the stick. I'm like, this is not safe. I'm not sure insurance is going to cover this for you guys if something happens to me.
Probably not.
No.
I don't think they should have done that.
And I'm yelling to Bill. What did he say? Get a golf club?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to hit that. Probably miss the alligator and be in a worse situation.
I think he was just laughing.
Yeah, nobody ran up to help, did they? Were you? You were at the beach. Y'all didn't come back, did you?
No, we found it. And then had you come out there, and that's when you thought it was just the cement one. And we were like, no, it's real. Mm. We all stayed inside and looked through the sliding glass door. If we had phones at that point, I'm sure there would be a video.
Oh, of course. And that would be okay.
And you can never leave out charades at the beach.
Oh, yeah. Now, I thought I was supposed to be answering the questions here. Okay.
Well, just bringing back all the memories.
All right. So, yes, I thought it was a great clue, you know, physical movement for Winnie the Pooh. And I must have looked totally ridiculous doing the little dance with my hands up. And everyone has remembered that over the years.
Well, it made more sense after you said you were humming the song and moving to it.
Yes, but thank you. That's okay.
Okay, well, that wraps up all the questions I have. Thank you for taking the time to answer them.
I'm flattered that you asked me to do this.
I enjoyed it.
I did too.